So the son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And that wasn't true. I don't think there's a parent here that would ever feel that way about their child, would you? No matter how bad it got, no matter what they did in their life, no matter how bad they messed up in their life, no matter how bad they even treated you, I don't think there's anybody here that would say, you are not worthy to be my son or my daughter. No, God doesn't work that way. We're sons and daughters forever. That's not going to change. That will never change. But the father told his servants, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. He didn't give him a chance to say anything else. He wanted this done quick. You know, his forgiveness was quick. If you want to even call it forgiveness. I'd say his mercy and his compassion was quick. You know, it's the son thought he was the one that needed forgiving, right? When the father already said, I love you. I'm giving you the best. No matter what you did, I'm still here for you, giving you everything from my livelihood. You know, all the things I have are yours, he's telling his sons. Everything. Bring the fatted calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast. You know, the fatted calf was the calf that was being primed for a real good feast. So this was the best one they had. The best, the very best calf they had. And they killed it so they could have a feast for this lost son. And he said, because this son of mine was dead, and now he is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. So they began to celebrate. This is salvation. This is what salvation is for us. We were lost. Now we're found, right? We were dead in our sins, and now we're alive. And it's a cause for celebration. I really do appreciate that praise and worship music today. Just lifted my spirits up to remind me we're alive. We're alive in Christ. You know? We may be going through some things. We may have a heavy heart. But we're alive. And we'll never be dead anymore because of what Jesus did for us. Because Jesus came running to us with open arms. And he hung on that cross with open arms too. Right? So, you know, we have cause for celebration. So he said, bring out the fatted calf and let's have a good time. Let's sing and dance. My son is alive. I'm happy. I'm going to celebrate with everybody that wants to come. Paul John Isaac wrote, a banquet of great joy is provided by this waiting father, who is none other than the waiting, running, embracing, partying, and kissing God. The parable describes God's goodness, grace, boundless mercy, and abundant love. But like the oldest son, some resent God's grace, and they cling to their religious observances. Let's read starting in verse 25 of Luke 15. I'm going to take a drink here. So here we have the other son now. Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of his servants, questioning what these things meant. And the servant said, your brother is here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. You know, You know, shouldn't a brother want safety and soundness for another brother? You know, I have a brother. I worry about him. I do. I mean, I haven't heard from him in a couple of years. He doesn't keep in touch. And he's, I think, he's sort of like involved in a cultish church. Any of that sound familiar? So I kind of go through my niece all the time, like, how's Joe doing? How's my brother doing? Haven't heard from him. I don't know what's going on with him. But she's got a little contact, you know. So I kind of ask her how he's doing. But, you know, this brother doesn't seem to care for his younger brother very much. You know, the obedient one that stayed with his father but didn't learn much about compassion and love in all that time. So the servant said, your brother is here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he's back safe and sound. He became angry and didn't want to go in. So the father came out and pleaded with him, right? Didn't Jesus plead with the religious leaders of that day? Didn't he try to teach them over and over again that it was about him and it was about love for neighbor and love for God? Tried teaching them all the time, and they just wanted to stone him and kill him. They didn't want to hear it. So he was angry, it says. The father went out, and he replied to the father and says, look, I've been slaving many years for you, and I've never disobeyed your orders, and yet you never gave me a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, he didn't even say my brother, you know, this son of yours, kind of disowning him a little bit here, huh? Who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, the dirty, rotten scoundrel. You slaughtered the fatted calf for him. You're giving him the best. What are you, crazy, Dad? Come on. Look what he did to you. You know, isn't this... this is just the way our lives are. You know, we just don't understand. We just don't get it. You know, we're so selfish. We're so self-righteous. You know, we're like finger pointers, you know? We got the one finger pointing while the three are pointing back at us. And we can't see the forest for the trees. You know, we're kind of in darkness at times. We can't see. So he says, you know, I've never disobeyed you. You've never given me a goat. Wah! Right? This is an older brother. He should know better. I'm sure this was a wonderful father, too. I'm sure this was a kind and loving and gentle father that would have done anything for his kids. And they're just spoiled brats, to put it plainly. You know, they're spoiled. Maybe they just had too much in their life. That can happen. Can happen too. So the father says to him, son, you are always with me. We're always with God. We don't have to worry about that. You know, maybe he thought, you know, well, you know, you're doing all this for this son now. Now he's going to take preeminence in the family. Something. I don't know. Who knows what's going through his mind. But the father's trying to reassure him, look, you're always with me. You're never going to have a separation from me. You know, he'd do the same thing for this son if it happened to him, I'm sure. But you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. I'm giving it all to you. So what's your gripe here? I don't think we understand sometimes the love that our parents have for us when we're young. We just don't get it. We take it for granted, you know? And a lot of times we just look to get all we can out of the situation. And we get all we can out of it a lot of times. We do, right? Because they love us. And maybe they don't want to hurt us. And they think we're not going to love them or something. I don't know. But as parents, we go above and beyond. We go above and beyond. We love and we love and we love and we keep on loving, right? Because that's the way God is. No matter what, he's going to keep on loving us. And he says, if you forgive your brother, I'll forgive you. So, I mean, that's one of the greatest deals we have in the scripture. You know, you forgive others, he says, I'm going to forgive you. But if we don't forgive others, it's not that God doesn't forgive us. We're just not growing in his love. We're not learning to love others if we don't forgive. Because this is all God does. So he says, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and now he is found. So, I mean, you know, you look at this story and you see the heart of God, full of compassion, full of mercy, full of kindness, full of reason, right? He's reasoning with them, trying to at least. Never says whether the older son got it or not. We don't know. You know, hopefully he did. But some of the things I was kind of pondering after I read the story, you know, I was thinking about the prodigal son, you know, but it's really three prodigals. It's really three, the two sons and the father. They're all prodigal. And you look up the definition of prodigal. One says, spending money or resources freely and recklessly and wastefully extravagant. Okay, that describes the younger son, right? But what about the older one who closed his heart, who was selfish? You know, he was prodigal too. You know, he was extravagant in his selfishness for his brother. Didn't want to see his brother get the best the father had to offer. Was jealous of his brother. That's prodigal too. You're going far away from God in that direction too. And then you got the father, right? He's a prodigal too. But he's a prodigal under a different definition. Another definition is having or giving something on a lavish scale. The prodigal father, right? Just giving his mercy, giving his compassion, giving his love to his two sons. Giving them everything. He gave them all he had, it said. Everything you have is, everything I have is yours. And this is God. Everything he has, he said, is ours. You read Ephesians, all those blessings in the heavenlies are ours. And he hasn't left anything out. Are we squandering those blessings he's given us? That's part of the message, too. Are we one of these two sons? Is that how we are? Do we close off our heart to others that God is bringing to him? Do we lack compassion for others and mercy and forgiveness in our lives for others? So one prodigal became a wasteful spendthrift, and he partakes of reckless living. One prodigal, having a self-righteous, selfish, and hardened heart. And finally, the prodigal father who lavishly and extravagantly pours out of his love on both his sons and gives them everything he has. Many of us have left our father and wandered in a faraway country. Many of us did that. And if you've done that, it's time to go back home to where you were always meant to be. right? We have a home, and it's called the heart of God. It's God. He's our home. He wants you to come back to him if you've gone far away. If you're having a famine in your life, you need to go to the one who can feed you of the real food that you need. But to truly know that God forgives us, we must first know his unconditional heart of love for us. We have to know that mercy triumphs over judgment in our lives. It always triumphs over judgment. Jesus is our mercy. Jesus is our grace. It's all about him. Another, I don't know if I read this already. Yeah, I did it. Okay, so we look at this story, and it's basically a story of salvation. God running toward humankind with arms outstretched, not only to embrace us, but to take the nails reserved for our punishment. When Jesus went to the cross, he was running to us. He was bearing our sinful shame and taking upon himself the punishment of our abandoning him. When he rose from the dead, he took our deadness out from the grave of obscurity and non-relational state of being. Right? He delivered us from the grave so that we could once again have a relationship with him, because it says here, like it says here, we were in the grave of obscurity and a non-relational state. Deadness is not a relational state. You're in no relation when you're dead. And God's not going to have that. God's about life. He's not about death. And when he ascended, Jesus, to his Father, he put his ring of right relationship upon our finger and clothed us with his robe of righteousness. He brings us to the Father's banquet table of abundant life for an eternal feast that will last forever.